Greetings this afternoon to each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a blessing being here. It's been encouraging, it's been refreshing, it's been stirring. Praise God for that. Amen. I would like to, just start with writing the title here on the board. Surrendering Isaac. I'm going to try to keep saying it so that if we forget everything else that was said this afternoon, we remember those two words. But if we write it on the board and I don't say it, at least we're seeing it. Amen. Surrendering Isaac. Could you all rise with me for a word of prayer? Dear God, we come to you this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And we come as children, we come as servants, bowing our hearts to you. What we are asking, that you would come and meet with us again here today, this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for how you've been feeding us. You've been stirring our hearts and teaching us your word. And Lord, thank you for those areas where it touched us and maybe we had to squirm. But Lord, we pray, don't let us go our own way. Continue to speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself. Please, dear God, use us as children. Use us as sons, even with chastening, Lord. We want to see the areas in our hearts and lives that need dealt with. Maybe we've been neglecting them or pushing them away. But God, bring us back to them. Pray that your Spirit would come and just talk right in each one of our hearts. Here today, dear God, Lord, I pray that you would especially also just move in my heart. Here today, I give this message to you, Lord, all the thoughts and prayers and burdens and preparation, I yield them to you here today. And pray, dear God, that you would bring forth what you once said. Please, Lord, help me to have a right heart and right spirit here today. God, help us to be broken, to be humble, to be yielded, to be surrendered. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need your grace. Come be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Surrendering Isaac. Unless we surrender the Isaac in our lives, we cannot have peace with God. There are several ways that this message could be applied, and pray for me. I'm a little bit struggling with what all to bring in because there are different areas that could be addressed. But surrendering Isaac applies to the new birth. I could just spend the whole afternoon here focused on the new birth. But God, has been putting a burden on my heart to go beyond that. I'm not even sure how much I'm going to talk about the new birth on this. But surrendering Isaac, we have to surrender the Isaac in our lives to have peace with God. There are times that we need to surrender Isaac again to be able to go on with God. God has a way of guiding our lives, bringing circumstances into our lives that bring us face to face with difficult things. And it's not about whether it's right or whether life is fair or someone else did something that wasn't right. It's about what I'm going to do with what God has brought into my life. And very often, it turns into an Isaac that needs surrendered. So now it's just gotten really broad, and pray for me to know how to address that. But I'd like to encourage you, open your heart to what God is saying in each one of our lives. We all have a life. God cares about each one of our lives. He cares about each one of us personally. He wants to come and meet with each one of us personally here today. And when we allow God to do that, then God can be speaking and putting his finger on areas in our lives that the preacher's not even touching. That's what we're looking for here today. That God would move by his Spirit in each one of our hearts. Like to start in Genesis chapter 3 this afternoon. Get two verses there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then he said, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we could talk about the relationship of the serpent with humanity ever since. There's been this tension, this standoff, if you will, between humanity and serpents. We just don't like them. And somehow they feel threatened by us. But there's another lesson. There's another truth that God would like us to see here, I believe. The serpent in the Garden of Eden was the devil himself. That's who the serpent really was. He came in the form of a serpent. And there's going to be this conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And God said that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. And I believe right at the fall here, God is already giving us a promise that there will be a deliverer. Mankind in the fall here came under the jurisdiction of the devil. And we could talk about offerings and sacrifices that God began to give as foreshadows. But right here, God is saying there is going to be a seed coming that will bruise the head of the serpent. And when you can bruise the head, you're going to win. You're going to win. God gave us a promise here that there's a deliverer coming that will bruise the head of the serpent. That deliverer is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which came to earth to shed his blood for every human being. And by faith, we can believe in that blood. We can confess our sins. We can repent. And we can be changed. And the serpent's head can be bruised in each one of our lives. We can go free. That's why we're gathered here today. We can be free from sin. We can be free from ourselves. God said, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. He gave us that promise right in Genesis chapter 3 already. Then if we go to Genesis chapter 12, I was blessed, Brother Elvin, last night already brought Abraham up. I'd like to look at Abraham a little more here today. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now we're going one step further. God said in Genesis chapter 3, there is a deliverer coming. The seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Now he's talking to Abraham. He says, and we'll read later about a covenant, but he says, in thee will all the families of the earth be blessed. And I believe he's going back and he's connecting with what he said about a deliverer coming. He's saying, Abraham, through your seed, I am going to send this deliverer. I'm going to make great nations out of you. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of your seed, because of you, Abraham. If you could go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, starting in verse 1, reading through verse 8. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Here Abraham, a God is stepping up a step further with Abraham. He's making a covenant with Abraham. He's already told him, through you, through your seed, all families of the earth, all generations are going to be blessed. Abraham knew that God had made a promise that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. He knew all that. They've been passing this down generation by generation. This is an important message. And now God comes to Abraham. Excuse me, I'm sorry. God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I'm making a covenant with you. I'm making a covenant with your seed. I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth through your seed. Down to verse 15, Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Here God is taking it another step, and he's saying, I'm going to establish this covenant with Isaac. In fact, Abraham, I'm giving you a miracle son. I've promised you you'd be a great nation. I promised you that I'd bless your seed. And no, we're not going to go do it with Ishmael. We're going to do it through Sarah. It's going to be Isaac. And I'm going to make my covenant with Isaac. I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth through Isaac. Here's Abraham, 99 years old, and he's saying, how can this be? How can I, being 100 years old, bear a son? How can Sarah, being 100 years old, bear a child? And she was past age. He had ceased to be with her as it was with women. He's like, this is not possible, God. But God said, I'm giving you a son. I'm giving you a son. God keeps his promise. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at a set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Abraham has left his father's country. Abraham has left everything behind. Abraham went out by faith that God will bless him if he obeys him. Abraham was a stranger in the land. Abraham kept walking with God. Abraham has faced many hard tests in life. Abraham believed God, though. And he kept walking with God as an upright man, committing himself to God. And God had made some promises that were not being fulfilled, and he could not understand how this is all coming about. It wasn't happening. But God came and brought the promised child. God blessed Abraham and Sarah with the promised child, Isaac. And he said, I will establish my covenant with Isaac and his seed forever. Through Isaac, I will bless all the families of the earth, God is saying. And God is making a covenant. God keeps his covenants. God keeps his covenants. This is many years after God had promised Abraham a son, but God had not forgotten. God is the creator of all people. He gives life to all people. And here's Abraham and here's Sarah yielded to God. And now God gives them a son and his son Isaac. Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, you know, they belong to God. This is God's possession. This is God's people. And then Genesis 22. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And God said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. But God, what about the promises? God, what about the miracles? We waited all these years on this promise and it's finally here. But God, what about what you said? Abraham believed God's promises concerning the deliverer, the Messiah, that he would fulfill through Isaac and his descendants. But now God is asking Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. This is unheard of. God, why? So what's going on? Has God changed his mind about Isaac? Has God decided to go back on his promises? He's just asking Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac to Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I'm going to show you. You know, God has authority over all people and all things. And if we're God's people, he has authority over our lives. Even if we're not his people, we are created by God. All people rightfully belong to God. So what does Abraham do? Abraham obeys with no delay. In verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You know, all these questions we could be asking Abraham, he didn't doubt God. I don't think Abraham questioned God. He accepted what God had said, even though it didn't seem right. It certainly wasn't fair. We've waited so long. And now God is saying, Take Isaac and offer him for a burnt offering. You know, Abraham believed God. Abraham knew that God would not lie. Abraham knew that God wouldn't give him promises and then change his mind. Abraham trusted God. Abraham believed in God. Abraham had yielded his heart and life to God to the point that he said, God, I'm in your hands. This is your thing. I'm obeying you. I'm walking with you. I'm yielding to you. This is, if there's a problem here, God, it's your problem. He knew that God never fails. He knew that God never fails. He got up early the next morning. He took a couple young men with him so that they would have what they need along the way, the help they needed. He saddled his ass. He clave the wood for the burnt offering, and they left. They traveled for 3 days. Imagine the journey. 3 days. What are we going to talk about on the way? 3 long days of plodding to go where God said. You know, that first evening, he could be wrestling with God. We can turn back tomorrow morning. But no, the second morning, I believe he got up early just like the first morning and kept right on going. The third morning, he got up early and he kept right on going. Till he said, there's the mountains. I see them. And at that point, I believe God revealed to him that one right there. That one right there. Which I believe was important that he followed God's direction. And then, verse 6 and 7. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. Now, if we can just picture, they've been journeying as a group. And now he's telling the two young men that he brought along, servant men, you stay here. And the lad and I are going to go up there on the mountain to sacrifice. So they need to now take what they need for the sacrifice on their own to go up to the mountain. So he takes the wood that he's carried all this distance. And he bands it on Isaac's shoulder, back. And Abraham picks up the fire, he picks up the knife, and now the two of them begin walking away from the others. It doesn't say how far they went here, but imagine it was far enough that it was just father and son. And Isaac says, Dad, Dad. Here's the wood. You have the fire. But where's the lamb? Isaac has seen sacrifices before. Isaac has been along. He knows all about a sacrifice to God. Dear Abraham, what will we say? Surrendering Isaac. He said, son, God is going to provide himself a lamb. Oh, the faith of Abraham. God is going to provide himself a lamb, but Abraham is committed to obeying God. God is absolutely first in Abraham's life. Got ahead of myself there in verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. So what's going through Isaac's mind as they climb that mountain? At the very least, Isaac is thinking, this is going to be a real event here. This is not a normal sacrifice. Dad has always brought a lamb. Dad has always cared about this lamb, a pure lamb, a spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish. This lamb was likely selected carefully and set aside. It was fussed over for the sacrifice. Dad didn't go out and just grab one and quickly offer a sacrifice. And now Dad's saying, God's going to provide a lamb. This is going to be a different sacrifice. It could be that Isaac is beginning to get a very strange feeling about what's going on. It doesn't record any more dialogue here. But now father and son climb the mountain to make a burnt sacrifice to God. You know, we can ask the question, does Isaac realize that he is to be the offering? But one thing you notice is he trusted his father even when things didn't make sense. He trusted his father. Dad is hearing from God, and I trust him. In Hebrews 11, Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. That's the faith chapter. Abraham believed that even if he offered his son, God would raise him up because God has promised. God has promised. God has made a covenant with Abraham. God has promised. God will do what he said. Abraham believed God. In verse 9, Abraham offers Isaac as a sacrifice. And they came to the place which God told him of. It says, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So, let's go on with this picture. They're climbing the mountain. Isaac is carrying the wood. Abraham is carrying the fire. Abraham is carrying the knife. And how they knew where the place was, except the top of the mountain, they must have gotten up to where Abraham had a witness from God or something that this is the place to now stop. We could say the dreaded moment has come. This is the place to now stop. This is the place where we're going to build an altar. When it means to build an altar is, we're going to gather some stones around. I would think Abraham set down the fire. He laid down the knife. I would picture he took the wood off of Isaac's back. And he said, son, we need to find some stones to build an altar. And I believe Isaac knew what it was like to build an altar. He knew what God wanted and what his father was looking for. And the two of them, they built an altar. They gathered some stones together. It probably took some work and it took some labor. And they built this altar the way it was going to be right for God. And then Dad comes over and he picks up the wood and he lays it on the altar. And at some point there, Dad says, son, God has asked me to sacrifice you as the burnt offering. I don't know what God is going to do. I believe God's promises, but I'm committed to obeying God. This doesn't make any sense, but I trust God. It says he bound Isaac. He bound Isaac. He took his only son, Isaac, and his beloved son. He laid him on that altar. He went and he picked up the knife. And he went back. He was intending to give the killing stroke to his son with his whole heart. Abraham was committed to surrendering Isaac. His only son, his beloved son. There was no escape for Isaac. He was bound and laid on the altar. Abraham was willing to, ready to kill him. You know, and that's where we are as humanity. Sin came upon all in the Garden of Eden there. When sin came, the curse came upon all. We're a fallen humanity. We're a fallen creation now. We're a fallen people. And there is no escape for any of us. There is no escape. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And there is no escape. Sin has to be paid for. We cannot go through life and live our own life and go our own way and expect that somehow in the end God will be too loving and too merciful and he'll just overlook and we'll slip into heaven. My friend, it's not going to work. There's no escape when God says sin has to be paid for. Sin has to be paid for. There was no escape for Isaac. There was no escape for Isaac. There was no escape for the people on the outside of the ark. There was no escape for Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no escape for Lot's wife. And on and on and on we can go. There is no escape when we go our own way. There is no escape. There is only one remedy. There is only one answer. And that is the Deliverer, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here God is asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, the very promise that God had said he was going to bring the Deliverer to us by. And God is saying, now sacrifice him. You know, I believe it is important for us to realize as fathers and as mothers that our children have no escape. Our children have no escape except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding our heart and life, there is no escape. There's no way around it. There's no escape. The dreaded moment will come. The dreaded moment will come. My dear friend, if you're here today and you don't have peace with God, I just assure you there is no escape except the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent his Deliverer. God has blessed us to live in a time when we have salvation available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means we need to bring our Isaac. We need to bring ourselves. We need to get up there on the altar. And we need to be willing to die for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died in our steads. But now we give ourselves. We yield ourselves 100% and sell out the Jesus Christ. That's a true new birth. And my friend, there is no other escape. There's no way out. God has made a way and there is no other. There is no other. We need to surrender Isaac. God in his loving mercy has made a way. But in order to come to him, we need to be willing to come and get on the altar and let our Isaac die for the sake of giving our life to Jesus Christ. If we love our life here and we live our life, it says we're going to die. But if we're willing to give up our lives and die to ourselves, we shall live. What a trade-off. Praise God. But as parents, let's allow it to grip our hearts. There is no escape for our children other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so essential that they come to Jesus Christ and make him their Lord and their Master. And I think it's worthy to ask the question here today, are we taking action and travailing at the altar of God for them? It is our children that will die unless God saves them. Maybe we should ask the question, how about us daddies? Where are we at? Where's our faith? Do we believe God like Abraham did? Are we sold out to serving the Lord Jesus and obeying Him like Abraham was? Where are we daddies? Maybe us daddies need to get on the altar yet. Maybe us mommies need to get on the altar and lay down our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding ourselves to God. Excuse me. Sons and daughters, are you willing to surrender like Isaac did? Are you willing to surrender like Isaac did? Let me ask you a question. Do you think Isaac fought back against his father when his father was binding him to put him on the altar? He calls him a lad, but I don't think he was a six-year-old boy. He calls him a lad here in the scriptures, but I don't think he was a six-year-old boy that you can just manhandle. Abraham's 100 years old. This young man is young and fresh and on the go, and if nothing else, he can slip loose and run for his life. Do you think Isaac fought back? I don't think so either. I think Isaac surrendered. Isaac surrendered, and he said, if this is what God is asking for, then God knows what He's doing. Dad, I trust you. Dad, I trust you. Who knows? I could picture them getting on their faces before God and crying together there. God, I don't understand. We don't understand. This was serious business. And today it's serious business. We get used to life. We go a day at a time, and everything keeps going 24 hours, morning and evening, morning and evening. Spring and fall, summer and winter, it keeps on going and we get used to it. But this is serious business. It's serious business. If we keep fighting against God, or if we fight against God, you know, there's no escape. We will die. There's no escape. If we fight against God, there's no escape. We will die. God said so. Isaac surrendered. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for us to repent. Today is the day for us to humble our hearts before God. Today is the day to come in brokenness, begging for mercy. Today is the day in earnestness to cry out to God and plead with Him for forgiveness of our sins. This is urgent. It's urgent, it's desperate, it's all important. We will die unless we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding our heart and life completely to Him. Surrendering Isaac. Let's go on to verse 11 and 12. Abraham passes the test. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And God said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God was testing Abraham, and his test was, do you love Isaac more than God? God wanted to know, where Abraham's heart was. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we have an Isaac in our lives? Is it taking away our time or our love for God? Is God asking us to sacrifice our special Isaac? Is he waiting to see what we will do? God took Abraham the whole way through. And then he said, "Now I know your heart." That's what God wants to see in our lives. Where is our heart truly? Are we fully yielded? God was testing Abraham. Maybe there's a promise that we feel God made in our lives. Maybe there's a calling that we sense in our lives. Maybe there's a mission that we're working on in our lives in the kingdom of God. But what if God says, "I want you to bring that promise. I want you to bring that calling. I want you to bring that mission and sacrifice it on the altar and let me have it." And it may not make any sense at all. But you know, God does those kind of things. God allows those kind of things in our lives. Or we could turn it and look at it from another angle. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's taking my time and it's taking my love away from God. Maybe it's my job. Maybe it's my house or my land or my hobby. And it's taking my time away from God. It's taking my love away from God. And God may be saying, "Would you surrender your Isaac? Would you bring your Isaac and put him on the altar and let him burn?" God wants to do those things in our hearts, in our lives. Surrendering Isaac. I'd like to open another field of thoughts here for us. Isaac could be hurts we have in our hearts. Isaac could be situations and circumstances that were difficult. Isaac could be almost anything that wants to derail what looks like the plan that should work out in my life. Isaac is that thing that stops us from just freely walking with God. It could be that hurt, like I mentioned, that I'm nursing, that has now become a special thing in my life. And it's almost, we won't want to admit it, but it's almost like Abraham. He loved his son. We love this hurt, and we're nursing it, keeping it alive. Life is unfair. I was so misunderstood. I'm the victim of circumstances here. But am I willing to be the sacrifice? In this situation, whatever it may be, am I willing to be the sacrifice? Or am I looking for someone else to get on the altar in this situation and be the sacrifice to resolve it? Or am I willing to be the sacrifice? See, that's the question. Surrendering Isaac. Surrendering Isaac gets very, very, very personal. Surrendering Isaac comes right back to me and my family. Where am I? Where are we? Genesis chapter 3 happened, and ever since there's been all kinds of things going on the earth that are not Christ-like, that are very ungodly, that are sinful, that are harmful. And you hear people saying, well, if God is a God of love, why would he allow this to happen? Well, it was not God's will that Genesis chapter 3 happened, I don't believe. God gave option to man. God gave man a choice. And man is chosen. And because of that, sin has come, sickness has come, evil has come, ungodliness has come, all kinds of devilishness has come. This is not God's fault by any means. It is not God's fault. So my friend, if you're here today saying, if God is a loving and caring God, why does he allow this whatever situation in my life? I'm appealing with you. Consider why it has come. It is not because of God. It's because man has sinned. Man has fallen. We need to take responsibility for the sin in our own lives. We need to be willing to get up on the altar and sacrifice Isaac. And if we sacrifice Isaac, we're going to suffer. It tells us in Hebrews that God was satisfied when he saw the suffering of his son. And as he looks at us, he says, if they did it in the green tree, what are they going to do with the dry? Telling us that we will reap the same kind of things here. We should not be surprised. But if we will get on the altar and sacrifice Isaac, no matter what the situation is, God will be glorified. God will be honored. When those martyrs gave their lives there in the fire or being drowned in the creek or being crucified, whatever it was, when they gave their lives, God was glorified. God was honored. God's name was exalted. The kingdom grew. God was magnified. See, God's ways are not our ways. God's way of thinking is not our way of thinking. We think in a very low way. God sees things eternally. He sees a picture we can hardly get a hold of. But if we'll yield to him and fully surrender him, give that Isaac up, he'll work it all out. He'll work it all out. And our life will be the most profitable in the kingdom that it can be. But it might not work out the way we think in an earthly way. In the kingdom of God, you can look like a loser to the world and win. You can look like a loser in the eyes of the world and win. In the kingdom of God. Nursing those hurts. Another one would be resisting. If we're here resisting the Spirit of God, sometimes we intentionally harden our hearts. The Bible says we should not harden our hearts. That's clear instructions again in Hebrews. We should not harden our hearts. But today, if you'll hear his voice, respond to it. And if you're here as a young person, as an adult, doesn't matter who we are, but if you're here and you've set yourself resisting, I'm here to appeal with you. Please listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and surrender your Isaac today. You can be free. You can go on with God, but if we resist, we cannot go on with God. If we resist, we cannot be born again and be free. We need to surrender Isaac and give him up and yield. I wanted to say something here. Also, I talked about hurt, so I wanted to flip it. I think we need a sensitivity to when we hurt other people. And maybe I'll just say one more thing about hurts. Just because we feel we got hurt doesn't mean anybody actually hurt us. We can get hurt without anybody doing anything out of place or wrong. We're just those kind of creatures. We can get hurt because someone didn't do something to honor me enough or whatever. Sometimes we do things that are not godly. And we need to be open. Lord, am I doing things that are not Christ-like that I need to make right? That could be an Isaac. If we're doing things and coming across in a way that is not Christ-like, we need to be open to the Spirit of God to speak to us. Because when we become hard-nosed, and thus it is, you know, we could be end up being perfectly right scripturally and be an offender. It is not the Spirit of Christ. Now just picture a little bit, okay? If I'm hard-nosed, and I push my way through and I'm just hard-nosed, doesn't that sound like something that needs surrendered? In word, it's all right, but in spirit, it's not. Jesus told his disciples at one place, you don't know what spirit you're of. We think we've got it all right. But, something wrong in your spirit. It was read here, the church of Ephesus. They had it all in order, but they left their first love. You know, God's looking on the heart. He knows us. He sees us. We're not hiding anything, and we're not deceiving Him about anything either. If we're hurt, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. If we've hurt others, we need to ask for forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, it is so hard for us to say, I'm sorry, I have wronged you. Will you please forgive me? It's so hard. Why? It's such a blessing to restore relationships. It's such a blessing. You know, when someone passes away, one of the first things we think about is there's things left that we wish we'd have talked about. Oh, if only. Oh, let's not wait for the if only. Let's be quick to address things when things come to our attention. You failed here. You failed there. I'm sorry that I came across that way. Would you please forgive me? And then we need to forgive. Forgive. So much is solved with forgiveness and confessing our wrongs. It restores relationships. And when both parties are doing that, it restores relationships that they're actually better than they were before. When both parties are doing that. That's a mystery of the gospel. But when we can surrender our Isaac, we give up. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to let go of that. When the knife comes down and my blood flows on that one, I am done. Yeah. When the knife comes down and my blood flows on that one and I say I forgive, then all of the life of that flows out. And just for clarity's sake, sometimes people are confused when they remember something. Not talking about remembering. We're still alive. But those feelings that rise up, that want to stir up, they need to flow out. We need to get up on the altar and die. Let the knife come down and let the blood flow. Sacrifice Isaac. Surrendering Isaac. You know, and it might be mom, it might be dad, it might be a brother, it might be a sister, it might be a church leader, it might be a church brother or a church sister, it might be the neighbor. Maybe it's the policeman in town who knows who it is. And we've got this thing, my friend, let's come put it on the altar. Let's surrender Isaac. Let's let the killing blow come. God said, Abraham, Abraham, don't hurt your son. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Here's a suitable sacrifice. Remember how the sacrifice had to be right. It had to be suitable. It had to be without blemish and without spot. And God orchestrates that there's a ram at the top of the mountain caught by his horns. If he was caught by his leg, he'd be blemished. This ram is caught by his horns, brothers and sisters. It's a spotless lamb. It's a lamb without blemish. This ram is right for offering. This is a miracle in itself. God said, that mountain right there, go right there to sacrifice. Abraham comes up this mountain. He builds this altar. I don't know how this works except miracles from God. He had to gather stones around. He bound his son. He put him on the altar until God said stop. He didn't see the ram right over there in the thicket. Neither do we see God's answer. Neither do we see God's answer until we get on the altar and we yield. We surrender. We give up. We let the lifeblood flow on the I will in my own heart. And then God will give us answers. God will give us direction. He's looking for a full surrender from our hearts and lives. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God saved Isaac with a ram to die in his place. But God waited till Isaac was on the altar. Now let's imagine Abraham and Isaac tying the ram. Tying the ram. What a moment. What a moment. Father and son are tying the ram. Father and son are putting the ram on the altar where son was just minutes ago. And they're going to offer a sacrifice to God that is acceptable to God. And Isaac standing there, Abraham standing there, and it's as if Isaac is dying right here before them. They know they've surrendered. They've yielded totally to God. Isaac is surrendered. Tying his feet, putting him on the altar, and then cutting his throat, and the blood flows. For a burnt offering to be right with God. Surrendering Isaac today. God our Father in heaven gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And my dear friend, would you allow me to say, we cannot fully connect. We cannot fully appreciate the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross until we get on the altar. We get on the altar ourselves. We yield ourselves. We give up ourselves. We genuinely 100% give up my life. And then we can fully grasp what Jesus has done for me. Oh, the sweet words of leading someone through to Christ, and they're confessing their sins, and they're begging God for mercy. They're begging God for forgiveness, and they're crying their souls out to God, and their hearts are clean, and they believe in the blood of Jesus. And all of a sudden, these words begin coming out of their mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you don't have to tell them. They just begin saying it. And they're so blessed. I'm free. I'm free. Imagine the journey down that mountain versus the journey up. On the journey up, Isaac's wondering, where's the lamb? Isaac's asking Dad, and Daddy's saying, oh God, I don't understand, but I believe you. I'm committed.
And when they come back, they're rejoicing in deliverance. They're rejoicing in a full yieldedness. They're rejoicing in the blessing of God. They're rejoicing in the approval of God. And they know that heaven is open. They know that heaven is smiling on them and everything is clear. They know it. You wouldn't be able to talk them out of it no matter how hard you tried. Run us over. We love God. We just had a time up there on the mountain we wouldn't trade for anything. Anything. Will you let God save you through Jesus Christ, His Son, who died in your place? Are you willing to get up on the altar and die, lose your life, giving up your will, repenting for living for yourself? We've done that, haven't we? We've lived for ourselves. Anywhere that we hold something against anyone else or God, we're living for ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and 25 say, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Familiar verse. It says, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So the question today, are we going to bring our sins beforehand to God? Are we going to yield and surrender? Let's surrender Isaac. We're going to give an altar call here this afternoon. And after you respond, the altar call's done, there's a nice big prayer room up here where we can go and be by ourselves and do business with God. I think of the other messages we've had, there's been things we've been pondering up to this point more than just this message. And I think now would be a good time to just stop and commit ourselves to God. Surrender Isaac. Or whatever it is that God put His finger on in our lives. Let's surrender it. Let's yield. We'll have some people there that can help you if you need it, if it's needed. Personal counseling will be available. We can be in a group, whatever. But just want you to understand, if you respond, we'll go up there to the prayer room, where we can be quiet, away from all the hustle and bustle down here, and we can talk to God. And there can be altars all over that room up there. And God is faithful. God never fails. Let's rise for a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice for us. Thank you. Lord, thank you for making a way. But dear God, help us that we not want to go our own way. Lord, if we're here resisting even at this time, would you please strive with us by your Spirit and draw us to yourself. And give us the grace and humility and brokenness to surrender and to give up. Dear God, if we have special hurts in our lives that we've been fussing over, help us to bring them and put them on the altar of sacrifice. Dear God, if we have gone around stiff-neckedly hurting others, righteously claiming to be following the Scriptures but having a wrong spirit, give us the grace to humble ourselves and to come and get on the altar and sacrifice Isaac. Dear God, come where those apathetic things are that are not fully surrendered. Speak to us, dear Lord, and give us the grace to get urgent about it and come to the altar of sacrifice and give up ourselves. Have your way here in each one of our lives. God, help us to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.